All right, we're here at Tech Ed with Doug Seven. So, Doug, what would you say you do here?
Everything possible to avoid sleeping.
Really?
So, here at Tech Ed, so I'm with the Visual Studio Team System Product Management Group, and one of the roles I have here at Tech Ed is managing some of the tracks. So,
okay.
Managing the content that we put in the tracks, the speakers, the TLC areas, things like that. And I don't do it single-handedly. There's three of us that are sort of come together working on it, that are working on the team. Myself, Erica Mackey, and Matt Powell works on the web and user experience track. And then Barbara Torrens is our logistic lead, who's sort of making sure a lot of this stuff happens and keeps running. So,
yeah. So one of the things is you actually plan what you're going to talk about, what customers are going to want to hear. How do you go about like deciding? Because one of the challenges is Microsoft has so much stuff you can talk about.
Yeah.
How do you make the cut no cut list for what actually gets in or not?
It's pretty tough when you think about it. You have a track like developer tools and technologies, tools and languages. And it's a developer conference, so that you think, naturally, that's a pretty big part of it. So we get a lot of submissions that come in. We talk to the product teams and say, what do you think should be, what are customers asking for, what's happening? We talk to some of the field guys and find out what their customers are doing. And then we grab the eight ball, take a look at it, and we make the list, put the cut line. And
Sure.
Yeah.
So, in terms of sessions, like how many allocations do you get? Like, because I think that's the other thing is people need to realize there's a number of rooms, but there's only a certain number of slots per day. So, like, how many, or do you know off the top of your head, or do you remember how many slots?
It's been drilled into the backs of my eyeballs. You look at it, we have all these tracks across Tech Ed, and everybody has, whatever allocations based on whatever we think the customer interest is going to be. But at any given time, there's only 19 concurrent sessions maximum.
Okay.
So at any given time, as an attendee at Tech Ed, I can come in and say, okay, what one of these 19 things do I want to go to?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at how many tracks there are, and you go, wow, that's a lot of stuff. But so you look at tools and languages is the one I use as an example because it's a pretty substantial track, and it's 35 sessions for the whole week.
Wow.
That's what we have, 35 breakout sessions. And then we have another, I think 12 or 15 of the interactive theater sessions we do down here.
Sure. And some of those are like repeats and things like that.
Yeah, not so much repeats, but a lot of times they're, those are all unique sessions, but a lot of times the theater sessions we do down here are deeper dive follow-ups on the breakouts we do. So we might have like a 200, 300 level session on, let's say, code quality with Team System, and then we might have like a follow-up drill down onto some very specific piece of that and have a little bit more intimate group, a little bit more interactive, and get into the depths of it a little bit more.
Cool. So we're talking about Visual Studio. You are actually giving some sessions here, correct?
I am actually. I'm giving one session twice.
Okay.
So I'm doing a session on Thursday about how to build better software using Visual Studio Team System as a tool to make that happen. So all the things that you can do with Team System to ensure that the quality of the software is as high as it can be before you release it to reduce your bug counts and things like that. And so I'm doing that on Thursday and then repeating it again on Friday.
So what are you demoing? What are the key things that somebody not attending your session, what are they going to walk away with?
Everybody should attend it. It's that good. It's really that good. I kind of break it into a couple categories. It's really about sort of how, as you're building software, you can validate the capabilities of your software. So things like unit testing, using the static code analysis tools, things like that. And really being able to sort of, through testing, validate the capabilities of your application, load testing, web testing, things like that. And then get into sort of ensuring the maintainability of an application. So if you think about how the sort of the life cycle of an application, you build it, you write the code once, and then you have to maintain it for a long period of time, usually years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to read that code a lot, you have to understand that code a lot, you have to bring new people onto the team, and they have to kind of get up to speed on that code. So maintainability is a huge, huge factor in writing good software. So I have a whole piece of that where I talk about maintainability, and we have some tools in Team System to help with that, things like code metrics, so I can understand how complex my code is, and realistically speaking, how hard it's going to be for somebody else to digest that code and understand it and do something with it.
Okay.
And then I sort of wrap it up with some of the reporting capabilities that we have, just so you can understand in tangible terms quality. Like you say, you wrote this application. How good is it? Is it 10 good? Is it 100 good? Is it, better than the last one? So we have these reporting tools where I can look at it and say, oh, wow, here's the actual metrics that say I've got this much code coverage and this much, this many passing unit tests, and my bug rate's going this way and my code churn's going this way, and being able to understand that.
Sure, sure. And one of the aspects, is, obviously, is Microsoft's using a number of these tools, both Team System and Team Foundation Server, to use this stuff. So Team System's got a ton of stuff, and you have added even more.
Yeah.
So I think one of the challenges is people don't even know all the features. So what do you think are some of the maybe hidden gems that people don't know or don't realize, or people will ask you, hey, can you guys add a way to say, you know, how... If something's, say, rigid or fragile and has too many dependencies, and it turns out we have something like that.
Yeah, that's a big, big category of conversation. You know, it's interesting as we talk to people because you talk about, oh, well, what are the hidden gems? What are the things you can do that you didn't know you could do? And it so depends on who you talk to. There are some people who don't realize that there's, you know, static code analysis, which for a lot of people seems really obvious. It's something that we've used for a while.
Right.
But if you don't know it and you've never used it and don't know how to use it, it's huge. Or more deeper level things like doing performance testing and understanding the difference between sampling and instrumentation and how to use those things.
So, I'm a moron. Sampling and instrumentation. Help
let me.
Me
I'll, so I'll put it to you this way.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you to, you know, check the time and tell me what time it is.
Okay.
What time is it?
I don't.
What time is it? What time is it?
Okay.
What time is it? What time is it?
Is this
sampling? I'm sampling. I'm just seeing where you're at.
Okay.
I'm sampling. And at a regular periodic interval, I'm just saying, and it's not so much asking you to perform the same operation, but it's just asking for, not even asking, checking on a status, saying, okay, where are you at now? Where are you
polling.
At now? Where are you polling? Exactly. And so we're just taking a sampling of data at a regular interval.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, what we're looking at is just the stack trace and saying, okay, what's happening now? And from a performance profiling standpoint, we can say, okay, we sampled at a regular interval for the duration of some period of time, and X percentage of that time was spent in this operation, and X percent was in this operation. And it's a really easy, low-impact way to just get some feedback on where things are happening, and more, really, you use it to kind of point yourself at a place to look for a performance problem. Say, okay, well, I seem to be spending a lot of time in these operations. Let me look and see what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas instrumentation is actually injecting code into your application at compile time to say, okay, every time you come in or out of an operation, give me a status back and tell me what you're doing now and what's happening.
Okay.
And so that will give me a lot more granular level detail where I can say, okay, I entered here, I exited here, I know how long I'm spending in this particular operation.
Interesting. Okay, so it's like checking, say, like methods calls, like how long did this actual method call?
Right.
Interesting. Versus like overall sort of macro.
Right.
Macro information.
And all it does, it gives me the information to say, okay, well, from a sampling standpoint, I can just get some really coarse information that says, oh, I'm spending a lot of time here. And that might give me enough information to find what I'm looking for. If I instrument it, I get a little bit more granular information that, oh, yes, I'm spending a lot of time here, but in sampling, I might have found out that I was doing an operation over and over again, and I just happened to kind of pull it at the right time to find out that I was spending a lot of time there. Whereas with instrumentation, we get really specific detail that says, this operation took X amount of time this long, and I need to drill into that and see what's happening in that spot.
So there's a bunch of stuff coming with .NET Framework 3.5 SP1, mm-hmm. and Visual Studio also has a matching service pack.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for people that are using Team System?
You know, it's funny because we call it a service pack, but there's a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good-sized list, and I think, if I recall correctly, Brian Harry's post on his blog, or maybe it was Doug Newman, one of the guys posted on their blog sort of a list of, in SP1, what we're doing with Team System. And it's, you know, normally you hear about a service pack, it's like, oh, you know, we fixed this bug, we fixed that bug, we did this. In this one, we have this list of, oh, here are the features we're enabling that weren't there before because we, for whatever reason, didn't get them in the release
sure.
in November, but now we have them. So it's a long list.
Okay. All right. So... And this stuff's obviously coming short term, but what about future? So there's something called Codename Rosario,
yes.
Which is the next release of Visual Studio Team System. What are the big things? What are the areas that you've grown? Because certainly there's a number of things.
Yeah.
Is it you see your that releases more incremental improvements on better ways to say measure, better ways to do quality, better ways, the things you talked about, or are there new things that you haven't added from the from a platform
right.
to enable enterprise development to do, you know, things we haven't thought of, for example.
Yeah. The short of it is it's a pretty huge step forward. If you look at what we did from the 2005 release of Team System to the 2008 release of Team System, there were some pretty significant improvements and new features added, but it it was really about going from a version 1 to a version 2 and really kind of rounding out the feature set that we had and really adding some things to complement that feature set. With the 2008 release going into the Rosario, Codename Rosario timeframe, what we're really looking to do is take a pretty big step forward in the capabilities that we're enabling. So if you look at Team System as it is today, it's fairly developer-centric. Not completely, but fairly. We started, you look at it and say, okay, we built a lot of functionality for developers and teams of developers, and we have some capability for project managers through Excel integration and things mm-hmm. like that, and we have some things for architects to have some work in there. And our testing capabilities that we've built out are really for developers who do testing. It's things like writing load tests and web tests and unit testing, things like that. With Rosario, we're looking to kind of step out of those boundaries just a little bit more and say, okay, well, there's this massive audience of people who do testing, software testing, but who aren't developers. These are our generalist testers.
Okay.
And they need tools and they need capabilities to do this, but Visual Studio is not the right tool for them.
Sure.
It's not where they should be. And they need ways to do the testing and be part of the team and feed the data back into the warehouse so we have all that data on their testing capabilities. So we have this huge effort going into this to support the manual sort of generalist tester. We have a CTP, a community technology preview, that we put out in April that showcases some of this stuff, where we have a new user interface that we have. It's currently called Codename Kameno.
What is that?
Codename Kameno.
So is this some North Carolina reference to lighthouses or?
It's after Kameno Island.
Kameno Island in North Carolina?
No, in the Northwest.
In the Northwest. Oh, so, interesting. Okay.
Along with Rosario, which is also an island.
Okay. Northwest. So that's like would be orcas for people that don't
exactly.
know. Other versions
just
were also
follow
islands.
Follow the islands around.
Interesting.
The Northwest.
Okay.
And Kameno is this standalone WPF-based utility that is really intended for this generalist tester. So it's activity-based. I can say I'm doing testing planning, I'm actively engaged in testing, or I'm doing some reporting. And they have all the tools they need to pull down test runs from the Team Foundation server and execute those test runs. And this includes a sort of a standalone manual test runner. So if I'm testing a web application, for instance, I can start my manual test runner and have it just as a sidebar in my on my desktop, and it'll actually guide me through the steps to run the manual test. And with each step, I can say, yes, this step passed. And at any point in time, I can choose to take a screenshot of the application. I can add notes. I can do whatever I need to do and move on. And if a step fails, I can say, oh, this step failed. Capture a screenshot of the failure if I want. And then right from there, enter a bug into the Team Foundation server.
Oh,
and along with that, I can choose to, if I want, capture an entire screen recording of the entire process. So the typical problem, of course, is I'm a developer, you're a tester, you test it, you come to me and say,
I write
hey.
A paragraph that
yeah.
says, hey, this isn't working, and you don't believe a goddamn thing
right.
that I say, but
right.
now when I show you the
yeah.
video...
Exactly, I go, oh, well, it works on my machine, and you go, well, it didn't work on my machine, and show me the video, and I go, oh, I see why, I forgot to tell you a step, or I didn't do something, or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And we're adding some more features for developers and testers to integrate that way. We're adding features for historical debugging, so I can actually run through something and go, oh, shoot, I forgot to set a breakpoint, something happened, I didn't see what it was. I can actually go sort of look at a history of my debugger and say, oh, here's where something happened. Even though I didn't set a breakpoint, I can look back in history and see what had happened there. And I can click on that point and see where the code was at that point.
Very cool.
And then sort of on the other end of it for the architects.
So super yeah. quick, yeah. just to interrupt, like one of the classic things or that I think would be interesting is, are y'all looking to, I'm assuming TFS is going to hold these screenshots. Are there ways to actually see sort of a visual view timeline or other ways for testers to see how applications or the information they're capturing on their test runs, mm-hmm. different ways to visualize that data, especially for things like manual tests, mm-hmm. where before like things are like on off. But
yeah,
for manual tests, you may want to have like a visual, a way to represent all the screenshots for all the test runs that have happened. Or
yeah, we do. There's nothing so much like that. What we do with the screenshots right now is they're really meant as the screenshots are intended to be sort of a way to make the bugs that get filed more understandable.
Okay.
To help that communication between the tester and the developer and say, oh, I get it. Okay, here's a screenshot. And that's a very common part of filing a bug, so let's just make it as easy as possible. Literally just click an icon and it takes the screenshot and attaches it to the bug. You're done.
Okay.
And so it's really about communicating that information. We do have built into the Kameno utility a pretty what's the word I'm looking for? Like rich, maybe is the right word, or very usable reporting system to say, okay, here's all the test runs we've done. Here's how many are failing, how many passing over the course of history. Here's what's happening, and really get a good understanding of what's happening with the test runs. Mm-hmm. So there's some really fantastic tools happening there.
Cool. All right. So sorry, you were talking about architect stuff.
Man, I could talk about this all day. the architect stuff is really cool because what we've had previously has been, we've had a little bit of architect tools, you know, things for modeling data centers or doing some system modeling, but in all honesty, it's been a little bit limited. And one of the things we're doing is trying to really open up that space and really say, you know what, we're going to provide some really fantastic tooling for solution architects. And so things like being able to model out an existing application and say, here's all the namespaces, all the classes, all the methods, properties, and here's all the dependencies between them, so I can quickly understand an application. In the Bill Gates keynote, we showed this off a little bit. We showed some of the features we were working on where I took an existing application, maybe I didn't write it, maybe I didn't work on it. Mm-hmm. I have to do something to it, so I need to understand it better. And I can just pull up a view of the application architecture and see where the dependencies are and where things connect and how they connect, and just better understand the application from there. And we have another new feature we're working on is this concept of a layer diagram. So if you look at an architecture where, you know, we say, oh, it's presentation, it's some sort of service facade, maybe there's business logic, data logic, something like that.
Sure.
Show that layer diagram, but make it active. Make it a tool as opposed to just a diagram. So actually tightly couple the classes in our application code to the diagram and say, this class belongs in this layer, this class belongs in this layer. Mm-hmm. And then I can actually validate my code against that layer diagram and say, okay, am I adhering to the rules of this diagram? So that, especially when we bring in new developers and they don't understand the intended architecture and they start doing things in a way that wasn't what we wanted to have happen, particularly for code reuse.
Sure.
We want to isolate these things for code reuse, and then somebody's breaking those rules and it kind of breaks the whole system down. So having these kind of tools are just really fantastic.
So. Cool. And so we mentioned testers, architects. Anything that you can drop or mention for developers?
Well, there's a few things. One, I mentioned the idea of a sort of historical debugging capability.
Okay.
So as a developer, when I'm working on my code, this isn't really necessarily related to my work with testers, but as I'm working on code and I'm trying to figure out why something's happening, being able to look back at a history of debugger activity and say, oh, here's where something happened that I didn't catch. I mean, as a developer, we sit there and we work on stuff, and it's like, you do it, you work on something, you run this thing, and it takes you 100 steps to get to some point, and all of a sudden you go, what happened? Why didn't I get what I wanted? And you find that, oh, I should have set a breakpoint here.
Right,
and,
right.
But
right.
Now I can go back and look at that debug history and see what's happening. Another one of the things we're doing is trying to help developers and our sort of operations guys work together a little bit better. And the idea that I've got an application that I've maybe deployed out on another server. Maybe it's on a tester machine. Maybe it's on a production server, something like that. But something's going wrong, and I can't figure out what it is.
Right.
So, of course, as a developer, our natural reaction is, well, let's just install Visual Studio on the machine. We'll be able to debug through it and find out what's going wrong.
Of course, of course.
And our release operations guys say, are you insane?
Right.
Never going to happen. So what we've done is we've created something called the standalone debugger. This is what we're calling it for now, anyway. And the idea is that I can take my application and I can in Visual Studio say, okay, create a debugger for this. Put a USB key in my machine and actually put the debugger, it'll fit on a USB key. So I can put the debugger on the USB
oh,
key,
nice.
Take it over to the production machine, plug it in, never have to install anything, just let it run off the USB key.
Right.
Debug through the application, find out what was wrong, and then be on my way with my USB key.
Wow, so it's like production level debugging, and mm-hmm. there is no install, so
it's
the ops guy isn't going to freak out.
Yeah, so it's on somebody else's machine, on a server somewhere, whatever, exactly.
Interesting.
And then some other things we're working on for developers that I'll kind of keep quiet on for now, but we're trying to go...
Themes, broad brush strokes.
we have a couple, you know, we have to have pillars, right? We're Microsoft. We have to have pillars.
Yes.
And
of course.
One of the pillars that we sort of always have is enabling better software quality, right? And so that's a lot of things about software testing, but quality doesn't just happen at the testing level, it has to happen at the developer level too.
Right.
So we're trying to do a lot of things there where we can say, okay, what makes developers more productive and produce code that is less prone to quality errors? So tying the code to things like a layer diagram or providing better debugging support or things like that are always huge things. So from a developer standpoint, that's really what we're looking at, is what can we do to make the developer experience enable me to write better code with fewer bugs faster? And that's it's sort of the ongoing theme with what we're doing. And as we build out, then we start looking at that tester audience, the architect audience. We're doing a lot in the space to support the reporting capabilities for the team so that, mm-hmm. you know, taking what we've done with our process templates and our reporting capabilities, and really we've got a lot of feedback on what we should be doing with them and how we want to change that, and really putting a lot of that...
It's a nice way to say it.
It's friendly customer feedback.
Yeah.
But we listen to it, and we're being pretty responsive to it. And the nice thing, I got to give credit to the product team. These guys are... More than anything, they want to build the right product. And so
right.
they'll scrap something that they've been working on for a year if they find out that it's not what the customers want.
Sure.
And they'll start over and they'll build the right thing, which is really cool. And so they're doing some fantastic work with the process templates and trying to bring some of the reporting into Excel so that the people who have to deal with the reports are in an environment that's friendly and cohesive to them, so they can see things all in one place.
And that they're familiar with already.
Exactly. And they can say, oh, here's my reports, and click through tabs in Excel and see different views on the reporting data.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot with the Agile template to give us better sprint burndown reports and project
velocity.
Yeah,
so let's talk about Agile. Are there any other things that you can talk about to help the Agile developer? And you mentioned some of the things for say, Scrum, sprinting, defining those, and those that have been third-party, if you will.
Yeah, and that's
now
really what we're trying to do for Agile teams more than anything is just provide those artifacts that Agile teams need. In our previous process templates, we had some of them. They were good, depending on what you did. We had some really excellent third-party support. And now we're just trying to bring more of that together. And again, a lot of it's getting that customer feedback and saying, oh, we need a burndown report. We don't have a burndown report. We need a better velocity report. We need to bring these things into one view where I can see them really easily and my team can come together in a daily stand-up and say, oh, here's everything that's happening.
Right.
And also tying some of that to workload. You know, when you look at Agile teams and they want to say, okay, well, here's our velocity, here's how much we can take on and all that stuff, and being able to say, okay, let's provide some reporting so that as you assign work items, you actually see, you know, graphs of, okay, what's our workload look like and how's that going to affect our velocity.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Interesting. Definitely. So lots of good stuff to look for.
A lot of good stuff. And like I said, our April CTP has a lot of that already in it. There's a lot of work we've already done that's in the CTP. We're just kind of, you know, it's a CTP, so it is what it is. And then as we progress...
Install on a virtual
PC. The CTP is in a virtual PC already. You just download it and run it. And we've got
Perfect.
Some sample apps in there you can run and test. And we actually, one of the nice things about the CTP that the product team did is they wrote a set of mini stories based on the kind of role you would be in. So if you're interested in the architect capabilities, there's a set of stories directed at an architect that walk you through doing things like building up a sequence diagram or a use case diagram, something like that. Same thing for developers, testers, project managers.
So it's perfect. So you want to know what the features are based on your job role.
Yeah, you're like, I don't really care about the testing capabilities. I want to know the project management capabilities. And
sure.
There's a whole set of stories that will walk you through those features.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's great.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Doug. Lots of definitely some good stuff coming in the future for and download the Rosario CTPs to start playing.
Yeah. Thanks.